Good morning. Good morning. How are you all today? Okay, let's worship. How about we do that? Yes. Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Brinegar. I am delighted to be here with you all this morning. I have a little note to read to you from Robert. I'm so sorry I'm not with you this morning. When I got ready to come home on Saturday morning, my truck evidently decided it wanted to stay in North Carolina. Luckily, a very talented mechanic got me on the road by late afternoon. I'm very grateful to Elizabeth for preaching today and saving me an all-night drive. I look forward to seeing folks at Midweek Manna and in worship next Sunday. So let's continue to keep Robert in our prayer as he is continuing his journey home, that he would have safe travels and that his truck would not act up anymore. You all have a number of announcements in the back of the bulletin and a list of prayer requests. I would encourage you to read those as you have time and to keep those folks on your mind and in your hearts this week. Are there any other announcements today for the good of the congregation? Then let us prepare our hearts and minds for the worship of Holy God.
Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Please rise as you are able for the call to worship. Peace be with you
and also with you.
Come and see the love God has given to us. Come and see what it means to be children of God. Come with us hope that Christ's presence is real. With joy we come to see the Lord. Please join me in the opening prayer. Miraculous God, come to us now, even as your Son came to those first disciples on the shores of Galilee. Speak your peace to our hearts. Touch us with your Holy Spirit. Reveal your word that we may hear your message this day and live as your disciples in the days and years to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Join me in the call to confession. Beloved, we are God's children now, but what we will be in the fullness of our time has not been revealed. What we do know is this: we will be like Jesus the Christ and saints of God. Let us consider how Jesus was revealed among us and pray to be more like the Christ in every way. Jesus embodied the unconditional love of God. We pray, may we be more like Jesus. Jesus fed those who were hungry. We pray, may we be more like Jesus. Jesus drew near to those living on the margins and excluded. We pray, may we be more like Jesus. Jesus brought healing and wholeness to those in need. We pray, may we be more like Jesus. Jesus hungered and thirsted for righteousness. We pray, may we be more like Jesus.
Don't fall, don't fall. How are you?
I'm fine. Good to see you, Debbie.
You too.
I'm sorry.
You too. It's good to see you as well.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, yeah. Happy to be here. Happy to be here. Peace be with you,
Elizabeth.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Peace be with you. Please be seated. Our scripture reading today will be different than what is printed in the bulletin. Today we will be reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, a familiar story. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But, wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I don't think this was the answer that the lawyer had in mind. He was looking for a simple yes or no answer. He asked the question, "Who is my neighbor?" And I think he wanted a list. He wanted Jesus to say, "Your boss, your friend Sally, Joseph up the street, your family. Those are your neighbors. Be nice to them. Love them as you love yourself." But with Jesus, it's not quite that simple, is it? We all know this story. Man is robbed and beaten on the road and left for dead. A priest sees the man and crosses to the other side of the road. A Levite, a Jewish lawmaker, saw the man lying there and passed to the other side. But a Samaritan, an outsider, someone the Jewish community saw as unclean and unworthy, he stopped to help the man. He washed and bandaged the man's wound. He took him to an inn and gave the innkeeper money to watch over this man. And beyond that, he promised to come back and check on him in a few days and to pay for whatever extra costs may arise. He went above and beyond. The text tells us that he gave the innkeeper 2 denarii. That's the equivalent of 2 full days of work. And that's a lot of money to give for a stranger. And he promised more. The Samaritan truly was good. He gave extravagantly without asking for anything in return. He's the good guy. He's the one we want to be like. The priest and the Levite, nobody likes them. They didn't do anything for anyone. They think they're so high and mighty, and they just keep walking when someone needs them. It's clear who the good guys and the bad guys are, right? The good guy leaps into action when someone needs him, and the bad guys don't do anything to help. Except it's still not that simple. Doing one good thing doesn't make you a good person, and making a mistake doesn't make you a bad person. It's more complicated than that. I wish there was some way of knowing who is good and who is bad when you meet people. I wish people were divided into categories of Good Samaritan and passers-by and had shirts with labels on them for when we meet them. It would make things a lot easier. Except we don't always stay in one category or the other. Sometimes we stop to help. And sometimes we cross to the other side of the street and walk past without giving another glance. You can't put people into categories of all good and all bad because we don't stay in one category all of the time. Even the best people make mistakes. And even some of the most hardened criminals are capable of love and remorse. So it goes back to the lawyer's question, who is my neighbor? Who do I have to be kind to? Who should I love? In the story, Jesus is telling us that when we talk about our neighbors, there are no rules. It's not about where you live and who lives next to you. It's not about liking the people who are acceptable. It's not about what we think it's about. It's about going above and beyond. And to do that, we have to take another step back. A lot of times when we read this passage, it begins with the young man asking Jesus, who is my neighbor? But the story starts before that. The story begins when the lawyer asks Jesus what he has to do to inherit eternal life. And what does Jesus say? He says that it doesn't begin with us. It begins with God. We can't set out one day and say, I'm going to be extravagantly generous. I'm going to go above and beyond. Because we're never going to get there on our own. We can only get there after we hear and respond to Christ's invitation to come and rest in him. After we enter into worship together. And after we go deeper into our relationship with God. Once we are rooted in God. Then we are able to give. Then we are able to share. Because it's not about us. It's not about what we can do or what we can give. It's not even about who we are. It's about God. There's a great commentary on this text where the author brings up the relationship between seeing and doing. In this story, the priest saw the man lying there and he acted. He walked across the street. The same for the Levite. They saw the man who was left for dead and they acted. They moved as far away from him as they could and walked past. But the Samaritan saw the man and acted in a different way. He got off his donkey, picked the man up in his arms, and took care of him. All 3 of these men saw the man lying on the ground, but they acted in different ways. And if seeing is connected to doing, how did the first 2 travelers see the man on the ground? How did the Samaritan see him? How was it different? Maybe a better question to ask is why? Why did they see this man differently? Because if we are all children of God, every face we look at reflects the light of Christ. No matter where they are from or how much they have or what they believe, how do you treat your neighbors? How do you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ? We want people to be good or bad. We want people to fall into separate camps. We want to know who they are. And we want to be the good guys. But sometimes we walk by. Sometimes we see and we cross the street. But sometimes we see and we go to the person who needs help. And we clean their wounds and we bandage them and we take them to the inn and we give our money. And here's the really good news. It doesn't have anything to do with us. The good news is that God gives us a chance over and over and over again to be the Samaritan. God gives that opportunity to us if we will just step up and take it. So who is your neighbor? Who are you going to serve today? Thanks be to God. And amen.
Thank you.
please join me as we say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We give not because we must, but because we may. We give out of the overflow of God's love in our lives. So friends, today as we consider and pray over what we should give back to God, let us offer up our time, our energy, our imagination, our love, and our financial resources to the one from whom we get all of these things. Please join me in prayer. God of healing and wholeness, we give thanks for the prophets who proclaimed your power to cleanse the afflicted and restore them to health. We give you thanks for your Savior, the Christ, who touched and cured those in need. We give thanks for the vision of the saints of what it means to obey you. Help us, we pray, to run the race of faith, that we may obtain the prize of deliverance that God offers to all. We pray that you will renew our spirits and give us hope. Sustain our confidence during these times of trial that encroach on our sense of well-being. Keep us from submitting to temptation and uphold us with your commandments, which show your will. When our energy wanes or we lack the discipline to press on with commitment, enthuse and enlighten us through the gift of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you will restore in us a new sense of the gospel. Help us to regain the excitement of when we first came to recognize your grace. Let the teachings of Scripture sound afresh to our listening ears and help us recall those initial confessions we made to follow the path of Jesus Christ. Strengthen our resolve to live in the light of your pardon, alive to the dawn of your redeeming grace. We pray that you will remake us in the image of Jesus, the one who gave his whole life to you. Make us witnesses of what it means to believe. Keep us from being satisfied with our current level of devotion, but mold our hearts until we are willing to give all. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand and sing. We are out so early today, we're going to meet the other Presbyterians. We're going to beat them all to lunch, not just the Baptists. So, you are welcome. Friends, as we go out into the world, let us remember that everyone is our neighbor. Even those we don't like, even those we don't want, even those we have nothing in common with. But the good news is, we're their neighbor too. We're all called to share in this Christian life of love and joy and discipleship and sacrifice with one another. So as we go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.